morning, a Hurricane Isaac edition of the Medicine Ball Caravan, live from the KRVS studios, where I'm bunkered down and looks like those initial rain bands from Isaac are just hitting us in the past few minutes right here on the campus of UL Lafayette. I'm Cecil Doyle. We're going to spin an hour of music for your soundtrack to this hurricane event. Of course, 7 years ago on this very morning, Hurricane Katrina pummeled New Orleans. We're going to be listening to an account of everything that went on prior and post Katrina by member of the Fugs, the long-running group out of New York City, Ed Sanders, a tune he recorded in New Orleans back, I think, in 2005, 2006. But let's get things started with the Doors. For all of you out riding the storm here on the Medicine Ball Caravan.
Riders on the storm, riders on the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone, riders on the storm, there's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. Killer on the road. Yeah. Thank you.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone. Riders on the storm.
Battle of New Orleans. Oh, I march to the Battle of New Orleans. Phil Oakes, I ain't marching anymore. In a cold, foggy dawn, the magnificent British hoplites, 5,300 strong, splendid in their coats of red, with white cross belts down their fronts, came strutting and hauling cannon. Out over a stubbly field of cane a few miles south and east of the city. Not many weeks after shelling Fort McHenry, the English had sent boats of troops from the Chesapeake under the command of General Edward Pakenham down to Jamaica to join a naval force, which had then sailed toward Louisiana to take New Orleans with the battle cry of beauty and booty. As if the scrolls of history belong to them alone, the spiffy epaulets of empire and their intimidating bluster of polished brass were shining in the fog as they surged up the narrow, pink-dawned field with the Mississippi River to their left and a thick and impassable cypress swamp to the right with its eerie dangles of moss over mule-eating pocks of mire and caisson-sucking sink pits toward a long dry canal and the waiting Americans. It was January 8th, 1815. To the north, behind some quickly crafted battlements in a line guarding the palace, were the troops of Andy Jackson, fresh from his slaughter of the Creeks. Sentries on the southern coast had instantly reported when the English ships had landed on some small islands at the mouth of Lake Bourne just 4 days ago. The man they called Old Hickory had figured out the path the invaders would take for beauty and booty, and placed his forces as quietly as he could along the canal. He commanded a mighty mix of troops. The history books vary, but there were about 4,700. Some were the fancily uniformed men of the New Orleans militia. Others were the, quote, tough boys, unquote, from Mississippi, Tennessee, and Kentucky, with their long-barreled frontier rifles, who'd come at Jackson's urging down through the Chickasaw forests, down through the Choctaw trails and the Natchez Trace, down along the Cumberland River in keelboats to slide into the Mississippi on the way to the Gulf. Not a few of the Tennessee militiamen were wearing raccoon and foxskin hats. They carried their bullets in their pockets. The British called them the dirty shirts. Also arrayed in the fog with Andy were a few actual pirates in the service of Jean Lafitte, who lived in the nearby coastal swamplands of Barataria. And then there were several hundred free Haitian blacks standing with their rifles pointed across the canal. Among them was a man named Lemoyne Labage, who had immigrated from Haiti 10 years ago and had settled in New Orleans. Labage wore the bonnet rouge of the French Revolution and very much had the principles of liberté, égalité, fraternité on his mind as he cleaned his single-shot rifle in the pre-dawn whispers. All in all, 600 African-Americans and Haitians in two battalions took part in the Battle of New Orleans. Lemoyne Labage was one of those Haitian Republican soldiers who'd gone to Texas about a year ago to help the Mexican revolutionaries. Then came the storm. A prayer for the victims of Katrina. New Orleans, that crescent flower, like an ancient glyph on a wrought iron bower. It had evolved like a bawdy song of Mozart to a place of strictured freedom where jazz was the art. There was a famous 5-part series which caused a somber pity that a 30-foot wall of hurricane water would crack and kill the city. The chemicals would be fouled. The levees would snap, with hundreds of thousands in a sewage-wracked trap. Not too many heeded the Picayune's foam. He really couldn't take the time, so much to do at home. Down on Easy Street, they strutted their stuff. They laughed at Cassandra to denigrate her bluff. You remember that T-shirt you could buy 1 year? Nuclear war, there goes my career. Now it's levee failure. I'll lose my cottage dear. I had it all designed like a snazzy Vermeer. On the eve of Katrina, there were 38,000 hotel rooms in the Crescent. Gotta keep them filled, even on the eve. The party zone hosted 10 million visitors a year. Gotta keep them stoned, even on the eve. There were just about 8,400 humans who worked in the eateries, convention attractions, and hotels, which brought in $5 billion bones a year to the anarcho-bohemian freedomistic polis, where everyone tried their fastest licks on the carpe diem guitar. You recall how it was, even on the eve. Yeah, there was poverty aplenty. New Orleans had 27.9% beneath the POV line in 99, as opposed, say, to Kansas City at 14.3. African Americans were 67.3% of the POV. Whites, 28.1%. 11.7% were elderly. Austin had 6.7. Poor Nabes held the majority of New Orleans' 181 square miles on the eve. The truth is this. The higher flood-free ground was mainly for the rich and white, and the lower land for the poor and out of sight. The eyes of Poseidon, they don't judge skin. And the gods don't need doors to bash their way in. But even Poseidon can't vanish High Street, where you never need oars for the duty of feet. At first it was something they called Tropical Depression 12, lurking out there in the central Bahamas, till it whirled to a full-blown storm with the name Katrina. They said it was headed for the coast of Florida. August 25th, a Thursday. The storm smote Florida in the early evening at 80 miles an hour. It sauntered through Miami, then Coral Gables, and then across the Everglades National Park, till very early in the morning on Friday the 25th, it headed into the open Gulf, where it rose up to 100 miles an hour. And then it veered to the north toward the Louisiana-Mississippi shore. Just before midnight, the point of shore smash was guesstimated at New Orleans and Gulfport. The National Hurricane Center said that Katrina would be a level 4 storm and likely crunch the New Orleans levees. That afternoon, the Louisiana governor decreed a state of emergency. Mayor Nagin urged the people of the city to flip a chilly horseman pass-by Yates eye on it. Prepare to evacuate, but wait and see. August 27th, Saturday. By 5 a.m., Hurricane Katrina had come to Category 3 with winds at 115. It grew upon the water in whirl-swirl fury. By 10, it was a Category 4. Around noon, the mayor said, "We may call for a volunteer evacuation later this afternoon or tomorrow afternoon." He was acting like a hotel booking Hamlet. He could not bring himself to call for the people to scram. Car rentals, hotel computers, and restaurant lists conspire to rule a tourist town with cash-stuffed fists. It brings, it sings, the telephone rings, while Hamlet plays a violin, all wet with lettuce strings. The violin was set aside at 5 when the mayor decreed a state of emergency, but only a voluntary evacuation. Sunday morning, August 28th, 7 a.m., Katrina went to level 5. Its winds were measured at 160 miles per hour. At 11 that morning, the Nagster ordered a mandatory evacuation. He named the Superdome as a shelter of last resort, and the National Guard was placed outside. The mayor refused to insist that hundreds of New Orleans buses be used to evacuate the elderly and those without cars or cash. He sent maybe 12 buses to the neighborhoods, but there was no real plan to evacuate. The tens of thousands Poseidon could pummel at will. August 29th. Instead of a direct hit on the crescent, Katrina shifted direction several hours before it invaded at 6:10 a.m., some 15 miles east of the predictions. Its winds were clocked at 145. Around 90,000 were still in the city. Katrina then hovered above the Palos, as if waiting for an email, chewing, chafing, chiseling, champing, till by 9 a.m. in the lower Ninth Ward, a levee had breached, and floods up to 8 feet high began to kill. The ancient Egyptian hieroglyph for water is 3 jagged lines, one atop the other. And that's what it was, the slashing lines of the ancient Nile. By 2 p.m., it was confirmed that the 17th Street levee had given in to the three jagged lines. Two more canals had also breached. By now, more than 20% of the city was flooded. Tuesday, August 30. The mayor announced at 6:30 that soon the water pumps would fail and that the flood would continue to rise. They had tried to sandbag the breach in the 17th Street Canal, but by 10 p.m. it had failed. 80% of the Palos was flooded. Up to 100,000 were trapped in the Superdome, the convention center, in attics, on roofs, and floating on water. Instead of placing the refugees in nearby towns, there was a flyout, bus out, force out to over 44 states. It had some of the taste of the dispersals of slavery. Some thought it was right out of the slave auction that Walt Whitman had seen and hated in 1848. It looks like the hull of a slave ship experience, said Jesse Jackson. Where's my wife? Where's my mother? Where's my child? Where's my daddy? And always the question, where are the steps? And what about the plants and animals that lived in the palos? The oak trees, if they could have spoken, would have said, what the hell? Just as the ones denied return could have said. There's a crack in the Liberty Bell. The cypress trees were streaked with the mildly salty stew, while the termites sought the higher surface, just as humans do. Drowned rats, drowned cats, drowned squirrels and chipmunks, raccoons, snakes curling in the water, and the bodies, oh my God, like an image from a suicide bomb. Where's my wife? Where's my mother? Where's my child? Where's my daddy? And always the question, where is the path that leads from the gates of wrath? I just jot some ragged notes that say that no one yet has sung the way, and even atheists pray for light of day. Thus ends the prayer for the victims of Katrina.
Recorded in New Orleans in 2007. That's Ed Sanders, legendary member of the Fugs, with a track called Then Came the Storm, a prayer for the victims of Katrina. taken from his album Poems for New Orleans. This was produced by Mark Bingham and our good friend, many of our good friends are included on this tune, including Bernard Pierce, who I think played on this album as well. In fact, I know he did play this album as well, as he gave me this copy. Before Ed Sanders, we heard the classic Riders on the Storm by The Doors from the L.A. Woman album. It's almost 27 minutes past the hour. Weather for the KRVS listening area? Well, you know the picture. It's a hurricane watch with, I guess, the initial bands of the storm just hitting the UL campus in the past half hour or so. Of course, we are in a hurricane watch, and we'll be in that mode for at least the next 24 hours. So batten down the hatches and keep locked to information. We can report that there is a curfew in Lafayette Parish. Take place from 6 p.m. through 6 a.m. That's this evening in Lafayette Parish, and I'm sure several other parishes in the area. Also, Lafayette Parish Public Schools will be closed on Thursday. I am imagining, I haven't got official word, but I would assume that UL will also be closed on Thursday, as we will still be in the grips of this storm in another 24 hours. And again, a reminder that Lafayette Parish, and I'm sure several of the other surrounding parishes, will have curfews in effect. Lafayette Parish curfew again from 6 p.m. through 6 a.m. Stay tuned to KRVS coming up at 12 noon today. It is Wednesday. And that means we're going to E-Town. And at 1 o'clock, it's Courtney Petrie taking us down the Bluegrass Highway. We're going to listen to more music, including Boss Kloss, who I was reading on Facebook, Steve Piku's posts. He's hunkered down in New Orleans, and last night was sending reports out on Facebook of things going on during the storm. We're going to be playing that Whistling Wind track that, as he said, Steve was reporting that so many news reporters are referring to it, the Whistling Wind. But let's start off with this recording made, in around 2006 to 2007 again. This is The Little Band of Gold, along with Robert Plant from the Goin' Home, a tribute to Fats Domino album, And It Keeps Raining.
It keeps raining and raining. Oh, tears from my eyes. Since you've been gone, all I do is cry. Won't somebody help me? Somebody help me. Oh, can't you see that my baby don't let me? She left me reeling and rocking, walking the floor. She let me know last night. Thank you.
everywhere. Even when there's no one there, singing sounds come to me. I hear voice and harmony. The tropical breeze sings a tropical tune. The dry desert air draws me into a room. I hear music in the air, bringing stories from somewhere, whether storm or gentle breeze. I hear voice and harmony. I hear the song that you're singing to me. I linger on the lines of your music all around, in every noise, in every sound. And even then you talk to me, I hear voice and harmony.
Whistling Wind. That's Boss Kloss from their latest EP that came out in April, and just a couple of weeks ago they were working on a brand new record down at Dockside. That's a Boss Kloss along with Eric Adcock on keys and Dickie Landry doing that haunting sax work on Whistling Wind. Before that, Little Band of Gold. Dickie was in that group with Robert Plant with It Keeps Raining from the Going Home, a tribute to Fats Domino album on Vanguard Records. Looks like a Hurricane Isaac is over Morgan City right now with sustained winds of 75 miles per hour with occasional gusts at around 90. It should be moving into the Lafayette area at around 7 p.m. this evening. And again, there will be a curfew in Lafayette from 6 p.m. till 6 a.m. in the morning. It should be in Alexandria by 7 o'clock in the morning, so still a very slow-moving storm. Keep your eyes and ears on the weather, and keep your attention. And we'll be bringing you the music, hopefully as long as we can, right here on KRVS Lafayette Lake Charles. I don't think we'll go down, and we do have an emergency generator if we do lose power. Let's continue with more music for this hurricane here in Southwest Louisiana from 1974. This is Deep Purple. Stormbringer.
We'll be right back.
their debut album, 1970. That's Keith Emerson, Greg Lake, and Carl Palmer. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, and The Barbarian. And that was actually a... I think it was lifted from Bela Bartok's Allegro Barbaro. And again, that's the opening track to the first Emerson, Lake, and Palmer album. Before that, Deep Purple, 1974, title track to Stormbringer. Black Crowes frontman Chris Robinson has a new outfit called the Chris Robinson Brotherhood. They have a new album called Big Moon Ritual. From it, this is Beware, Take Care. Care, the Chris Robinson Brotherhood, from their new release, Big Moon Ritual, here on The Caravan, where, hey, I wish I could just spin music all day. We've got other programs lined up, you know, just to give me something to do here at the station. But Medicine Ball Caravan was produced live in Cypress Lake Studios here on the campus of UL Lafayette. I'm going to close out with some Sonny Landreth from Elemental Journey, his new instrumental album, and Heavy Heart Rising. Stay safe, and hopefully we'll do it again tomorrow.